Hello everybody, it's Wednesday and that means it's time for another edition of the HTXT AfriCast. My name is Brendan and joining me in studio today is Clinton Matos.
Hello everybody.
And Nick Cowan.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Better than I was yesterday.
What happened yesterday, Nick?
I went to the gym and came back to mine and then was feeling so rubbish that I lay down for a nap. And I didn't wake up until 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's so terrible. I wish that that had been me.
And I was streaming with sweat, and I had a fever, so I took a painkiller. And then I had another nap, which lasted until 3 in the morning.
I think that's just called a sleep.
No, it's not. It's not when you wake up drenched in sweat in the middle of winter.
I think it's longer than a nap.
Sounds great.
Why didn't you go to
had a better day, it seems. Although that is really a matter of objectivity.
Well, I went to see Transformers 5. Well, it's not called Transformers 5. It's just called Transformers The Last Night with a K. And before I even got there, I got lost. So that's nothing on the movie. No, I was using my phone on a mount.
Yeah.
And it was a really tenuous mount. And I asked my friend to fix it while he was driving. And he fumbled it. And he touched it somewhere. And he took us on like a 5K detour.
Oh, wow.
Into this really, really dangerous looking area with no lights, and I was like, if this car breaks down, we're just going to die, something's going to come out of the shadows. Anyway, so the movie is terrible. Have you guys watched any of the last four?
I watched the one with Mark Wahlberg.
That was the fourth one.
Yeah, that was the last one I saw. And that was horrible.
I watched the first one, and then the second two kind of blend into each other. And I just remember the terrible moments, like the Decepticon female roommate with the tail. And I remember that Leonard Nimoy was in one of them as someone. And I remember a coughing guy who turned into a jet. And I remember two very racist characters. I can't remember which one they were in.
I think that's the third one when they were in Egypt. And then the guy says, I'm below enemy scrotum. And then they shoot it with a rail gun.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
I think, that was the third one.
I think by far the Mark Wahlberg one was the one I enjoyed.
I can't even remember anything about that one.
I'm an inventor.
He returns for this, even though news just came out.
I remember him being in it, but I can't remember anything else.
No, that's perfectly okay. there's no real plot to these movies. I don't think I've been in a movie that has a worse plot than this one. I mean, I think The Room.
Not even Warcraft.
Warcraft at least has
a plot.
A storyline where things happen and then there's consequences and then the movie ends.
Right.
This is just, there's one MacGuffin with Lancelot and the Knights of the Round Table.
What?
This is in the trailer. I'm not spoiling this. They're in medieval times, and there's a three-headed transforming dragon. And then Bumblebee fights some Nazis in World War II. Then we're in the present day, and there's an amulet that attaches itself to Mark Wahlberg, Marky Mark, who is what I'm going to refer to him as now. That MacGuffin doesn't actually do anything. There's a second MacGuffin later on in the movie, which is a staff that is only activated by this one posh British lady who's a professor at Oxford. She's a professor and a scholar and a tour guide and lots of things. They make sure we name them all. And she can't get a boyfriend because she's very uppity and she has a career. And then she meets Mark Wahlberg and they hit it off. Then they get into a World War II submarine. They go somewhere underwater and they find the MacGuffin, and then Optimus Prime shows up and he's evil, but not really. And they fight a bit, and then there's a big climax in the sky where Cybertron comes. I thought Cybertron exploded, but apparently not. And it tries to eat Earth, because Earth isn't what you think it is.
Because movie.
And then they blow up the MacGuffin, and then it ends, and you're free to go, finally.
So your entire explanation made me want to go and watch terrible YouTube videos. Like, I would watch Jake Paul's It's Every Day, Bro, repeat.
No thanks. It's Every Day. England.
It's Every Day, Bro.
England Town.
England is my city.
Anyway, that's the story.
After listening to that, I have a headache.
Those are the footnotes of the story, so don't go for the story. What else does Transformers offer? Car porn, right?
Explosion. Sorry, base-plosions.
Yes. Well, lots of those. Someone sitting next to me made the observation that they were fighting in a junkyard, and the cars were all full of fireworks because someone got shot in the chest. A Transformer got shot in the chest, and there were fireworks on either side. It's like we were watching flippin' Power Rangers. You know, in Power Rangers where they get cut in the chest with a sword, and there's sparks and fireworks.
Yeah,
exactly like that. Lots of base explosions.
Product placements.
Yes.
Lots.
Marky Mark had a Bud Light, just like he did in the fourth one.
Yeah.
He didn't do it like, oh, look at me, I've got a thing. And because in the fourth one, you remember, he breaks it on the side of a thing, and then he drinks it and throws it on the floor. This time, a robot dinosaur transformer baby gives it to him. And then lots of product placement, yes. Car porn, not a lot, surprisingly. What? If you like cars. There was a Lambo and like Bumblebee. When I saw the Bumblebee as a Camaro, right, when it's a car, I thought the car was in an accident because the front looked all effed up.
Yeah.
But then I looked at it a bit more. It's like, oh, it just has a really bad body kit. But I was like, when did he have an accident, and why are they showing permanent damage in a movie where no one dies?
Yeah.
But no, it was just a bad car kit. So no car porn.
There's Megatron in this one.
Yes, I don't know why, because didn't he die?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he would.
And then Galvatron was there, but then he is, but he's actually not really Megatron. He's possessed by something, which would be a quote-unquote spoiler.
Like, one of the things that's really
sound like I'm rambling. It sounds like a madman.
It really does, but like, I can, like in your eyes, I can see that you're telling us the truth. But now, like, you telling us that they went back into medieval times.
They didn't go Bumblebee, back. They didn't go back. It was just showing you in the past.
And then Bumblebee fought Nazis. Like, this is kind of messing with the timeline, isn't it?
Yeah, because remember, they're like, okay, Transformers just arrived. And then later on in that movie, they're like, actually, they've been here for a while and we use their technology. And then every movie they've made, the Transformers have been on Earth longer and longer. And now they were here.
Prehistoric times.
And now they were here past that with, like, barbarians and stuff. And there's so many, it does, even in its own movie, it creates a plot hole where Bumblebee was in World War II, but he doesn't really remember.
What?
Or it wasn't him, it was just a Transformer that looks like him. They don't...
explain this.
They don't explain. And I need to tell you something great that happened. In the middle of the movie, there was an exposition dump. There were several placed around with Sir Anthony Hopkins, who I think was on crack cocaine, or he was playing a character who was on crack cocaine. He was explaining stuff just... streaming exposition. Just vomiting it onto us. And the projection broke and the image disappeared. So we just had the audio. And it was even worse then because we had nothing to distract ourselves. You just had to sit there and listen to the quote-unquote English. And it was madness. I cannot believe someone wrote this. It probably had a team of writers who got paid millions of dollars. So story bad. Explosions okay, I guess. Car porn bad. There wasn't much sexualization of women, amazingly, because that's also a base staple.
Was there not that whole, the fourth one, that whole little love circle between the girl who was like 16 or something?
Oh, that was Marky Mark's daughter. She's explained away in universe. She's at university.
Oh.
And Marky Mark is an outlaw. Because at some point, the Power Rangers, the Transformers have been made illegal. Now there's like the government hunting them. So Marky Mark's like, no, they're the good guys. So he protects them. So she's at university. I don't know where the guy who got, I'm going to get a sponsorship from Monster or Red Bull.
And then drove over somebody's face with a car tire.
That happened in the beginning of the movie.
Again.
So Bumblebee hit someone with a tire. I think they reused the same shot. They just did different CGI.
My goodness, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Like...
So
is it worth going to see?
No, God, no. So the only good thing I was getting to this is the CGI.
I thought you were going to say the end credits.
No, because then you actually pay it to sit there. The only good things was the CGI.
But that's always been good.
Yeah, it's still awesome to be like, now it's a car, and then they show you transforming it. They can still do that really well after five movies, but...
Well, they've got enough time to get it right, sure.
No, even in the first movie, it was good.
It was really good. That was one of the... Like, I bought the first movie on DVD because that was the thing back in the day, the special edition.
What, DVDs were a thing back in the day?
Yeah, because it was really, really awesome to see these... to see the actual transformation of the robots. But, I mean, that's kind of like, okay, cool. That's your one...
You want trick.
And now you've got nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel that they need to just stop with the Transformers. I get they want to sell toys and
it's time to stop.
Games.
I think they just make the most movie from the most money from the movies
themselves.
Well, didn't
Michael Bay come out at one point, and I can't remember which sequel it was he was directing, but obviously he was getting a load of guff from people online, as you do, and his attitude was just, oh, shut up, you're all going to watch it anyway.
Probably.
I wouldn't have watched it. How can I say this?
You wouldn't have gone there unless you were reviewing it.
No. The fourth movie, I didn't pay to watch it. Make of that what you will. I put it on in the background and did other things. And it was just like, like background noise.
Yeah.
And then it was like 3 hours late. And I was like, oh, I've been messing around for 3 hours. I better go do something productive. At least in the fourth movie, they teased Grimlock. And the Dinobots.
Yeah.
And only showed up in the last 30 minutes. In this one, Grimlock was in the first 10 minutes, but then he didn't do anything, and it was just forgotten. So, opposites.
There's a plot point.
There were so many of those, you don't understand.
Well, it's kind of like, I don't know about you, but it's kind of like this franchise, ever since the first film, which, you know, whatever other criticisms you had of the first Transformers film, it had a story and a beginning and a middle and an end. Which to a degree made sense. Ever since then, it's almost like we don't need to make sense. We don't even need much of a plot, really. We're just going to make our characters do weird things.
And we're just going to put Optimus Prime on the front page, on the poster, and then we're going to make billions.
Destroy half of a well-known city or something. And then
forget about it the next movie.
I mean, forget about it.
I mean,
they teased a sequel at the end as well. They had like a mid-credit scene,
after,
if you can believe that.
Well, you see, the thing is, after this, you probably would go, come back, Zack Snyder, all is forgiven. Because, I mean, I don't think...
Not replacing one evil with another. I'll go watch an actual good movie.
I don't know about you, but whenever I think of Zack Snyder or Michael Bay, all I just see is flying dirt and rubble.
I just hear explosions.
These guys have got a hard-on for flying dirt like you wouldn't believe.
There was a point, Nick, it was hilarious. There was that three-headed dragon that's been in the promotional material. He hits another, what's it called? A combiner transformer. They have a special name that was made of five smaller transformers. And they're both just gray with no distinct features. And they smash into each other, and they're like, what am I seeing? They're just two gray shrapnel piles hitting each other. And you're like,
this makes no sense.
And I don't think anyone name died. No, one person did. I won't say who it was because spoilers.
I don't think anybody who's listening to this podcast cares, but you probably have signed an NDA. And they wouldn't, you know, which by the way, we're not breaking any laws. It will have broken by the time you hear this. But it probably also said you shouldn't reveal any spoilers.
Yeah, there's no stakes to anything. Nothing has stakes. Nothing has reason for it to happen.
Like nothing has gravity.
And nothing matters. Do you know what this is? It's nihilism. This movie is a perfect example of nihilism. You sit down and you just think nothing matters.
I just now see all the explosions of all the Transformers movies in a montage with Metallica's Nothing Else Matters playing over the top of it.
No. And it's like, it doesn't even have music by Linkin Park anymore to make it any better. Because the first
two... Does that make it better?
Yes, the first one had an original song by them, and then the second one had a remix, which wasn't very good, but at least it had Linkin Park, and that kind of made it a bit
better. Do you think Michael Bay...
What about the soundtrack? Is it any good? Like,
I don't know.
Talk about
I don't know. I don't even know if there's music.
It's that forgettable.
I saw it last night.
And it's that forgettable.
I'm distraught. when this goes up, around 12 Wednesday, we'll have the review at 1 a.m. on Wednesday because that's when the embargo breaks. Read my review because I get into a little more detail, but I try to run through it so I didn't bring you to tears. So please don't see this. What I can suggest is if you want a bad movie, I keep suggesting you go see XXX, The Return of Xander Cage.
I've seen XXX.
The Return of Xander Cage?
Yes.
Did you watch it with friends so you could take the piss the whole time?
No, I watched it.
Then you wouldn't get the same experience.
No, I watched it and I just thought, this is silly. This is very silly.
Okay, but have you watched the other XXXs?
Yes. I didn't watch the one with Ice Cube.
Okay, that's fine.
That was like the best one.
State of the Nation.
Yeah, dude.
Man.
That was legit
To be quite frank, the next silly film that I watch Because the thing is, for silly action films, the bar has been irrevocably raised by the John Wick series.
I don't think that's silly.
That's very silly.
No, I think silly action, the pinnacle of silly action is Pacific Rim.
Yes, that's, I would
that
agree
is
with
nothing
that.
Can top silly action like
that's
Pacific
brainless,
Rim.
Though.
It is brainless, no, but that's yes. the point of it. It's, no, like, yes. it's just like, oh, let's have
John
some
Wick
robots
is a silly
face
film.
Off against
it's,
aliens.
It's, oh, we're hitmen and we pay for everything in gold and there's
Krugerrands.
They're a neutral. No, it's a silly. It's a compelling world, but it's very silly.
I see what you're saying, but I still think if you want silly,
maybe
let me put
maybe.
It like this: if you want dumb, XXX, watch it with friends. Maybe get inebriated. That's the way to have a good evening. Don't go watch Transformers.
No. It's never fun.
Well, if Transformers just feels like you're being punched in the face repeatedly.
Go watch the what's the one from it's from the 80s, eh? The animated one. That's
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. Transformers the movie.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
With the theme song written by and performed by.
I can't
White
remember.
White Lion.
What?
Yeah.
Learn something new every day. Okay. Robots in disguise. Mm. Right, so...
Yes, let's leave that,
It even
please.
Has a song in it by Weird Al Yankovic called Dare to be Stupid. There you go.
So
the cast includes such luminaries as Leonard Nimoy, Eric Idle, Robert Stack. These names mean nothing.
On another podcast, Nimoy. We should talk about this one comic I used to read that was... created by Leonard Nimoy.
No, okay.
That's
another story
for another
day.
Yeah.
Well,
let's stop talking about Transformers. Well,
speaking of being punched in the face.
Yes.
Arms.
you wait for several fighting games. I mean, this is the weird thing. That you wait for a decent fighting game and then a ton of them arrive. I mean, so far this year, what? We've had...
Injustice.
Two.
Tekken.
Seven.
Ultra Street Fighter.
I don't know what.
Well, that's
that
Ultra
not
Street.
New.
Ultra Street Fighter 2, the
Super Ultra Remix.
The exploitation of your
and
nostalgia.
Knuckles.
We've got Arms, and then we've got Marvel versus Capcom in the pipeline.
Oh yeah, that just came out, and no one spoke about it.
And I don't think it's out just yet. It's out.
No,
yet.
It is 100% out. Marvel versus Capcom.
We haven't been sent a review copy of that, but I'm sure it's on the way. So I've just basically been playing fighting games all month, really.
And what have you reached a conclusion of?
Okay. Injustice is much better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, okay, I've got a problem with that. People told me that it feels exactly like Mortal Kombat X, and Mortal Kombat X felt exactly like Mortal Kombat, which was just called Mortal Kombat. No. Yeah, but it was just called Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well,
someone said that NetherRealm are just reskinning their games.
Okay, that's I think
not reskinning. It feels very similar.
Okay, so reskinning is that's a shortcut to thinking. Okay, because you're having a look at the move set of someone like Cheetah and saying, oh, it's exactly the same as the move set of a speedy character in Mortal Kombat X.
Sorry,
and it's not.
Marvel vs. Capcom was December of last year.
No, there's a new Marvel vs. Capcom on the way. Didn't you see it at E3? Of course, you didn't watch E3, did you? All right.
No, but you're asking about the one that came out, which was in December.
No, I'm saying that I said that we'll
Marvel
go back.
Marvel vs. Capcom
in the pipeline.
Roll back the tape.
We will roll back the tape and
Marvel vs. Capcom is in the pipeline. That's not the name of the game, all right? Marvel vs. Capcom in the pipeline. Released.
I hope someone makes that.
But
does it feel similar to Mortal Kombat X?
It feels similar in some ways in that, like, it does have that kind of rock, paper, scissors feel to it. But... you know, the movesets of a lot of the different characters are different. And, I mean, obviously there's not as much blood because there's never as much blood as there is in any fighting game apart from...
Well, because Batman's there and we can't have Batman kill people.
Batman won't kill anyone. He'll just send them into space and then the Batwing will shoot them.
During the story mode, he takes... And this isn't a spoiler either, He takes Aquaman's huge freaking trident and pins his leg to the floor with it. So
he's not killing. Dead. He's not dead.
He may die of infection and blood loss later, but
Batman
did not kill him.
So I enjoyed Injustice a lot. Also, it looks swoon-worthy. I mean, like, the one thing I'd say that it's got over all of its rivals is the facial animations and the motion capture is incredible. It's also got one of the better stories in a fighting game that I've seen for a very, very long time. It's quite dark, and it's quite morally nebulous.
Yeah.
But it's really, really good. It's one of those you're actually encouraged to play through the story mode, which obviously, as you do, you will get better at using the characters and you'll uncover more moves and all the rest of it. But you'll keep playing because you actually want to see what happens next. I mean, it is daft, but you want to see what happens next because it's very well done and it's very well...
So it's very intriguing, even if it's...
Which is weird, because when you think about it, Tekken has got one of the longest-running storylines in any fighting game ever. I mean...
I can't actually keep up with that
storyline. It actually has its own...
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I've looked at it before. I remember playing a flippin' Tekken demo on PS1 and being like, this is a cool fighting game. I had no idea the monster that was beneath that in terms of story.
Well, is it worse than... It can't be worse than Dark Souls' story.
But Dark Souls is a great story. What you talking about?
Yeah,
no, I'm talking about like in terms of how convoluted and how long
I can't
it
tell
is.
You. I've never gotten into either. I just know that both of them are ridiculous.
Well, it's similarly ridiculous. And you do say to yourself, well, the biggest problem I have with Tekken 7, and it's not really a problem, but it's one of those things where it's like, oh, well, what's different? Not much. Couple of new characters, most of them, interestingly enough, are female.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
And no, and it's not strictly 2D. There's a bit of 3D to it as well.
Okay.
It looks good. They're using the Unreal 4 engine.
Yeah.
It's a nice lick of paint. It's not in the same, it's not in the same league as Injustice's visuals.
Yeah.
But it's a fun game. And this is the problem I have with most fighting games. People go, oh, what is it like? And you go, well, did you enjoy the last Tekken? Yes. You'll probably enjoy this one.
If
you've been hankering for a new Tekken. I would say that the other funny thing about Tekken is that traditionally, Tekken games are pretty easy to get into, and this one is very easy to get into. And Injustice seems to be crafted to get people who don't normally play fighting games to try it out, because its tutorial is very simple to follow, but it's pretty detailed. Mm.
Do you know how to do a block cancel, Nick?
So basically you get into a situation where it's like both of these games are doing what arcade fighters normally do, which is try desperately to straddle that line between satisfying their core fan base. So basically, Injustice is doing the same thing Tekken is that most arcade fighter games would try to do, which is straddle that line between people who are absolutely committed to learning every single move, the hardcore, the base, and getting as many new players through the door as they possibly can too. And the only difference is, are you interested in Tekken? Have you played previous Tekkens? Do you enjoy Tekken? Or do you want to beat the hell out of Superman with Batman? That's a hard
case. I played Tekken at Icon, and it felt exactly the same as the PS1 one.
Mm.
I can't believe how little it progressed, and I really can't see how they can make the justification for a new game. Mm. And even me, someone who hasn't done a lot of fighting games, can say that a lot of people have said that too.
Well, I mean, maybe they're interested in the story. Although why they would be, I don't know. But then again, I'm not a huge fan of the story. Then, of course, you've had Ultra Street Fighter 2. It's got what's its subtitle again?
It's Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, it's got two.
Ultra Street Fighter 2 Extreme Switch Edition.
The and final Knuckles. Challenges for the Switch. it's got a couple of characters that weren't in the first game.
Like?
Violent Ryu, Violent Ken. The evil doppelgangers.
Can those really count as characters, though?
I'm sorry, how much is this game? It's $40 in the US, isn't it?
It's probably about $750 out here if we're going by...
What?
Well, I mean, that's what Switch games cost.
Yes, but when did Street Fighter 2 get released?
The first
originally?
One?
Yeah, originally.
I think it was 1990, wasn't it? No, it was earlier than that.
Street Fighter 2...
1988, 1987, somewhere around there. I remember playing it in an arcade cabinet when I was a kid.
87.
87, there you go.
No, sorry. 91. 87 was the first Street Fighter. 91 was the second one.
91.
So they're charging you full price for a game from 1991.
It's got nice graphics.
And if I remember correctly, some publisher or developer said, oh, we'll judge releasing more Street Fighter on the Switch based on sales of this. Flipping and holding it hostage.
I'm just like, hang on. Like, okay, so I get the whole Skyrim thing. As much as it pains me to say it, I get why Skyrim is being re-released over and over again. But Street Fighter from 91?
It's a remaster, basically. That's what it is. It looks very crisp. And
okay.
Controls pretty good. The other problem with Street Fighter that you got is that the Switch doesn't have a D-pad.
Oh, so you only have the analog sticks.
It kind of does. No. It has on the other side, the face buttons act as a D-pad, don't they? You're not using the other side?
No, I reach out for the D-pad and it feels like my fingers are
cut. Okay, I see what you mean. Because I think the Pro controller has a proper D-pad.
No. The Pro controller does. So if you want to invest...
It'd be nice if I had one.
It'd be nice if I had one, but I don't. So
it does have a D-pad.
I miss the D-pad. The only game I've missed a D-pad more than this in was SSX, when SSX came out. Because I haven't played SSX Tricky and SSX 3 to death.
Yeah.
And the D-pad was how you lined yourself up for a move.
Yeah.
And then to have that taken away, it was like my thumb had been cut off. And then, of course, you've got ARMS. Colorful boxes with springy arms.
I can't
arms.
Believe that's the name of a game.
And they're really, it's really good. I enjoy it. it's better with two players.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky that I have a friend who has a Switch because they could come around because I only have one set of Joy-Cons. And it's best played with friends. You basically use motion control. It's essentially like if you imagine a Dayglo boxing game for the Wii with much better graphics. It's fantastic.
Do you actually get to hit your friend in the face?
No, you have to stand side by side. Well, you can.
I was just going to say, nothing's stopping you.
Nothing's stopping you.
Because I think this could be a good game to solve some disputes in my home.
Yeah. No, ARMS is very good.
But again...
I can lend you the Switch, but you'd have to get another Joy-Con, which is like, what, $1,700?
Yeah, no, pass. So it's fine. Expensive. It's fine.
But
it's
Nick, this is also another full-price game,
yeah.
ARMS. A lot of people have said, again, it's another Switch game which isn't worth full price.
Well, this is I think, the problem that a Switch has got at the moment. But then again, having said that, I think it's a problem with one or two rare exceptions that the PSVR has got at the moment. It's early days, and a lot of the games being shoveled onto it are very, very short experiences.
Terrible.
I mean, well, this is the thing, is that, like, Eve Valkyrie is not terrible. It's just short.
Yeah.
You know, A Rush of Blood.
It's light.
Yeah, you know. I mean, there are some bloody awful games. I mean, this is the thing. As I played, what was it called? Farpoint.
Yeah.
Which was a terrible game with a fantastic peripheral.
Yeah, everyone said
But, like,
that.
You say, like, okay, PSVR, Skyrim's coming to it. Resident Evil, Biohazard is
awful. Skyrim.
Okay.
Skyrim's going to be
okay,
like everything.
So if you imagine, like, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard... is to the PSVR what Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is to the Switch. I mean, that's a phenomenal game. And like I said, it's early days yet. And they did at E3 really reveal a ton of IPs that are in the pipeline. It's essentially what happens in a console cycle.
I mean, a lot of them
here
are really
come your
good.
Tech demos. Now here come your real games. Oh, we threw in a real game because we feel sorry charging you full price for all the tech demos, you know? I mean,
there are some really cool games that are coming to the Switch. Like, I hate to say it, but Mario plus Rabbids. Mm. I mean, that looks really awesome.
Mario Rabbids XCOM.
That one.
I don't know who greenlit that, but they are a saint.
Super Mario Odyssey looks good as well.
One looks a bit strange just because of the atmosphere. Mm. It looks strange seeing Mario in such like a realistic thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's dodging between cars. I just imagine somebody running over Mario.
And what was the other one with the toys?
Star Point? No,
Starlit or Starlight.
The peripheral game from Ubisoft.
From Ubisoft.
No Man's Skylanders.
Content edition.
Yeah. You got a new Metroid game that was announced as well. I think that you're right, though. I think that the Nintendo Switch and Nintendo in general could engender a lot more love and a lot more tolerance and possibly a bigger growth to their fan base if they were like, okay, look, the Switch is going to cost you $5,000 or whatever it is, but Legend of Zelda will cost you $750, but ARMS will cost you $500, right?
Mm. Okay, but the problem with that is that at the end of the day, whether you're making Legend of Zelda or you're making ARMS, I mean, you still have a development team that you need to pay. You still have overheads that you need to cover, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but you have to realize sometimes you can make more sales by making something cheaper.
Fair enough.
I mean, Bayonetta sold a whack ton, and it was really cheap. I think it was $20, 200 rand local.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the exact numbers, but that sold a lot of units.
Mm.
And that was an old game, which would necessitate a lower price. And this is a lesser game.
And it didn't even have a visual, that much of a visual scrub, did it?
No, it was just a port.
Yeah.
Look, okay, so I think that what E3 showed us is that there is a lot more to come for the Switch. And a lot of good stuff.
Yep.
Not just like, oh, cool, so we're making this kind of okay port for the game 3 years down the line.
Well, that was the problem. I mean, when you think of the Wii U, name the top 10 games for it.
I don't know. Wii U Sports.
Zombie U.
Yeah.
I can think. Super Mario Maker.
Mm.
That was fantastic, actually.
Mm.
Pokken Tournament. Even though I only played it once, it was Pokemon Tekken, and that's amazing. There, 3 games, Nick.
I said 10 games.
Oh, no, that's impossible. Were there 10 games on the Wii U total?
Pikmin was very good.
Yeah. Some people said...
The Wonderful 101.
Xenoblade
Chronicles.
Yeah, they said that was fantastic.
The Wonderful 101. That was really good.
Batman Up Armored Edition or whatever that was.
No, that was not. No.
You could scan things, though, Nick.
If you could scan your ass. It's like, seriously.
So, okay, I think the point is that, like, I think that the Switch is doing a much stronger showing this rather than the Wii U did.
Yeah. And I think that after the bath they took on the Wii U, Nintendo are being very, very bullish with the Switch.
Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, Bayonetta 2.
And I mean, like, okay, so...
We've got 7.
I've got a whole list here.
We're not going to go through all of them.
Yeah.
My point is off the top of your head.
No, that's impossible. I don't even think a Nintendo executive could do that.
So I think what I'm trying to say is that, like, yeah, sure. So ARMS is probably not the greatest game in the world. It's not going to set living rooms ablaze with the want and need to play ARMS and imaginarily punch your friends. But I think that, like, these sorts of games kind of pave the way for what's to come.
I think it's fuller content for bigger titles.
In the meantime, rather than let's release nothing, let's release something that maybe a few people will buy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'll give some developers some cool ideas on what games will work with the Switch and what people like and what they're expecting from this console. Because I think that's one of the biggest things for me is, like, if I had to get a Switch right now, I wouldn't know what the hell to do with it.
Playing Zelda.
Yeah.
Well, no, but
and
I mean, like,
the new Mario Kart is apparently one of the best games ever made.
Okay, so there's two things on
Mario Kart's got pedigree.
And I also don't like Mario. Yeah.
The
unpopular opinion.
The podcast cuts out and people with baseball bats get into Brendan.
I really have no time for that character. But anyway.
Bastard Irish plumber. Sorry, Italian plumber.
So, like... I mean, I think that it's kind of for Nintendo going, rather than release nothing, let's release something and show what our console is capable of.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, the developers are bringing these games.
Let me put it this way.
In the future.
If I had bought a Switch, I would resent paying for ARMS less than I would have resented paying for 1-2 Switch. Because 1-2 Switch should have come bundled.
Yeah.
Sorry, it should have done.
I mean, that is pure tech demo. Here's a bunch of games you can play with your mates. We don't really care.
What the Switch is looking to me like, a year from now, it looks like a nice companion console if you play on PC. Because if you play on PC, you already have access to most of the Xbox games.
Yeah.
The only thing you'd be missing at that point is PlayStation exclusives. I think if you have a PC and a Switch...
Sorry, Nick's phone is just ringing.
It's very important.
I agree with you. Like, I think if you have a PC and a Switch, that's going to be a really good combination of consoles to have.
I'm waiting. I may have to buy a Switch because apparently they're making a mainline Pokemon RPG, and I'll buy any mainline Pokemon RPG. But I'm waiting for not the Switch 2, but the Switch S or the Switch XL because... I want more battery. I want bigger controllers, and I'm without necessarily needing.
What
to
about
buy a
4K?
Controller. No,
4K.
They can't even do 4K. They can barely do 720p. You want them to do 4K.
But if you really want to win E3, you've got to say 4K 100 times through your presentation.
The most powerful console. Anyway,
4K.
At some point, it looks like it would be a good console. Maybe not now.
Look, I think that the Switch is putting Nintendo on a much stronger footing than the Wii series did.
Well, the Wii U. The Wii, they are trying to chase the golden days of Wii.
And I mean, like, today, a company called Fuse revealed that they're doing software where you'd be able to program games right on the Switch and be able to play them on the Switch, which I think is really awesome. I'm very confident about this, but I don't know whether I would want to go out and buy a game from 1991.
and play that again for the sake of nostalgia, because I've done that whole parade and it's terrible.
Yes, but you're an old fart and you should get your head around that fact. And also, let's face facts here, if you're bringing in a Switch and you've got kids, they will eat this up. They really will.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm not talking about people with kids. I'm talking about myself here.
Yeah.
I'm giving you my opinion. And
me,
saying that
the
right
big
now.
Kid.
No, but this is the thing, though. It's like people go, I'll race this game. How dare they? And it's like, well, for these kids who've seen the Switch, and let me tell you something. When you put the Switch into the hands of a kid who's like between 5 and, you know, however, 18, whatever, they are impressed when you take that docker out and it disappears off the television and it appears into their hands.
It's a really like, wow. Cool concept.
I mean, like, I'm not saying that it's a terrible console at all.
My niece came round and I handed her Zelda, and that was the last we heard of her for the afternoon.
She's like, actually missing, please.
She's actually missing, please don't find her. Anyway, so for someone like that who's never played Street Fighter, and let's be brutally honest, if you're going to get into an arcade fighter, Street Fighter 2 was your gateway, as it always was.
True. I mean, like, my housemate's brother is playing Skyrim for the first time now. And, like, I'm really glad that he's getting to play it because it is a great game.
I mean, this is the thing. I remember just after E3, I read an article written by a guy called Keith Stewart at The Guardian, who I used to work for, and he made a very good point, which he said, you know what? You should just give up waiting for Half-Life 3. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, haven't they, like, said it's not happening?
It's not going to happen. And
I think Gabe is, like,
here's the thing. If I don't know if they've officially done it, but let's pretend Gabe comes out tomorrow and goes, yes, Half-Life is not happening ever again. Would you care?
Not really.
No. Okay, and you know what?
People, I don't like Half-Life.
People younger than you would care even less because, you know, the first game came out in 1999 and, you know, 1999, 2000, okay. The second one was, what, 2003, 2004, something like that?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, if you had a kid then, next year they can make a learner's permit, right? Okay, that's a long time ago.
It's a very long time ago.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I remember when I used to live in England, I had this kid who lived up the road from me called Devon, and we used to refer to him as the sniper next door. I'm not saying anything about the parenting skills of his parents, but they let him play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 when he was 12 years old, and he was lethal on that thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And over the years, we would talk about games, and I said, "Oh, so you see the new Duke Nukem's coming out?" And he was like, "Who the hell's Duke Nukem?" And there's going to be a generation of kids who are going to be like, Half-Life? What the hell is Half-Life? Who cares?
Fair enough.
It's like, "Oh, Led Zeppelin's got another one coming out," you know.
Fair enough. Like, I do really like the Switch. It is a console that I have considered keying my credit card details in for many times. But like I said, like right now, I don't see the value in it. Sure, I'm sure a lot of people do see the value in it.
Mm.
And maybe now is the best time to get it. But I'm also frugal when it comes to my money. And I'm going to wait until it presents real value to me. But I do agree with what Clinton says, is that it looks like a really nice companion console.
Yeah.
For PC gamers and maybe an Xbox or PS4 person that doesn't want to have to get one of the other platforms.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, look at another. There's.
Still can't play Horizon Zero Dawn on it, which makes me sad, but whatever.
True, but one day you might find yourself playing Skyrim at the airport.
And that I would love.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
I don't leave the house. What are you talking about, Nick? I'll be playing it on the toilet.
Thanks.
Wow. Clinton. Okay, I think that's going to wrap up this edition of the HGXT AfriCast.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for listening to us ramble and talk about Transformers and...
Don't see it.
As Clinton says. But do try out some of the fighters that Nick was talking about.
And also try out Mario. He's good, no matter what Brendan says.
Yeah, better than Sonic.
Sonic. All right, guys. Thank you so much. From myself, Brendan Lutz. Cheerio. From Clinton.
Gotta go fast.
And from Nick.
Bye.
Cheers, guys.
We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.